Hey, this is Kiko, and you're listening to Audio on Demand with Chris 200.
That was Chris 200 checking in with Pizza Babe.
Pizza, you gotta listen to Chris 200.
Hi, Chris 200.
He's too busy listening to Chris 200.
It's really hot.
Hi, Chris 200.
You're listening to thefreenetwork.com.
This is Chris 200 for the 19th of December 2007. Welcome to Audio On Demand Crash Cast. Oh no, just kidding. Thought that Scion was going to pull out in front of me, but it didn't. Going right past where there was a bad accident. I guess it was yesterday morning. Took a whole hour extra for me to get to work. I was held up probably 2 miles from work. And I had to go like 6 or 8 miles out of my way to get to work. After the traffic started moving, of course. It probably sat there for a good 20, 30 minutes, probably longer. So, that's why I said, welcome to the Crash Cast. You know, this mall shooting thing, this is probably going to be the last thing I talk about, the mall shooting, in Omaha on, I believe, December 5th, and, just a little comment, I guess. Just a little comment on that mall shooting. Like I said, a couple days ago, it was posted last night. They're going to go ahead and open up that store. They feel it, 2 weeks or 15 days has been long enough. And that they're going to open up the store and, today on the radio, as I was getting ready, they said, well, how do you know when you're ready? You just got to kind of, it's a bad analogy, but you just kind of got to pull the trigger and do it. So they're going to open up that store. And my comment, I guess, on the whole mall thing, and I don't know if other people in the country have the same sort of phobia or whatever, but last night we went to a mall, and we didn't even go into the mall. We went to Sears, which is, at a mall. And my wife asked me, she said, while you're in there, did you think about what you would do if you started to hear shots fired or anything like that, or have, this kind of underground fear or hidden fear about being at the mall? And I said, well, yeah, I thought about it too, you know, kind of looked at everybody a little bit closer. And, you know what? I think people were checking me out a little bit closer too. So, I think that will just take some time to get over that fear. Hopefully we don't have any more mall shootings. There has been, you know, several shootings since then. Just craziness. I know there was something that involves a church or a youth hostel or something like that. In Colorado, two incidences. I don't know if they were related at all. Never did hear that. Something about a school bus in Florida or something like that. I could be entirely wrong. I don't read the news and it doesn't really sink in and stick. But, you know, I don't know the statistics on it, but, you know, they were talking about gun control and this and that on the radio either this morning or yesterday morning. And, you know, how people want to go out and sue the gun companies for, wackos going out and killing people with their guns. And, the response was, well, you know, cars kill quite a few people over a period of time. I don't know if it's more than guns, or I would guess cars kill more people than guns do in the United States. I don't know the statistics. I could be entirely wrong. I don't know what the ratio is. I'm guessing that it's more. That's kind of the gut feel I have. Somebody call in or leave me a message and tell me that I'm wrong. But they said, well, you know, you don't see anybody suing the car companies. For killing people, for that matter, you don't see people, well, I don't know if this is true or not, but you don't see people suing the government for speed limits or anything like that being too high and killing people. I know when the interstate system here in Nebraska, actually all the highways, they adjusted the speed limits up from the late 60s or 70s when the oil embargo was in play. I know they lowered the speed limits to preserve fuel, to preserve so people, you know, don't burn as much gas and help out on the you know, conserving oil or gasoline. And anyway, I do know that for the first few years that the death toll, at least in Nebraska, was a little bit higher than it was when the speed limits were lower. Today, I believe, and I don't have the statistics in front of me. I don't even know where to look it up. I've heard it on the radio somewhere along the line that that they're about even today versus where they were before the speed limits were raised. So either we killed off all the idiots, or speed limit isn't a factor, or it is a factor and we are just kind of in one of those statistical valleys per se. You know, who knows, it may jump up. Maybe it's because cars are safer today than what they were know, back in the 70s or whatever. I don't know. People wear seatbelts more than they did in the 70s. Maybe that's the factor. But, yeah, if anybody has those statistics or anything like that and would like to share them, I'd like to see them. Like I said, I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here. I don't know for sure. But I believe it's about even. Maybe slightly more. I don't know. You know, you have to look at your population and that, too. I'm not sure how the statistics are exactly figured. You know, if you have more... you probably have more roads now than you did back then, too. More traffic. I don't know if it's normalized or anything like that, but or if they're just doing a straight count over a year. I don't get overly opinionated on the cast here, but. I was on my last show, and I got a little bit of a message from Zilla, and let's see if I can do this. Let's see if this will work.
Wall beef patties, cheese, grilled onions,
what the hell?
Slices of Texas toast.
Come on.
So, that doesn't make sense. But
all right, here we go.
Thing about, hey, Chris 200, I was listening to your last podcast, and you were talking about giving the money to the church, even if it's not a church you belong to, just, you know, church around you if you don't go to church. Well, that can be just as stupid, if not stupider, than giving to the big organizations. Because who's saying that church right near you aren't a bunch of complete wackos who are going to use the money to, buy a new Mercedes? So, that doesn't make sense. But I do like the thing about, you know, giving locally. That makes sense. That's groovy. And that matters. You know, if everyone just took care of the people around them, you know, took care of the people locally where they lived, you know, things would be really groovy. Later, bye.
All right, that was a little comment I got from Zilla about my comments on, you know, charitable donations and that. And basically what I said is, you know, give locally, give it to your church if you belong to a church, or a church that, you know, if you don't go to church, go to give your money to a local church. I do agree with your point there about wacko churches and things like that. They're out there. They're probably in your city. In fact, my father-in-law is he's retired now, but he was a Lutheran minister for, you know, I don't know, 35, 40 years, something like that. And he had run into some of his, talking about ministers and then cursing. He had run into some of those wackos in his journeys through the ministries. Don't be fooled by some of these folks. Yeah, there are people like that out there. Every church has a certain amount of politics that it's being played within the organization. That you may or may not know about. He worked with one of these whacked-out ministers, and it ended up costing his job in the end, but it was probably all for the best anyway in the end. So, yeah, you know, you got to use some sense. Don't go calling up, what's his name, Benny Hinn or Hahn or whatever his name is, the guy that's on TV all the time, or what's his name, Joel whatever down there in Texas, and send him money because he needs a new suit or whatever. No, I'm not, it's not Oral Roberts. Who's the other guy? His son, I think his son just got, like, kicked out of that little church organization for being a little too lavish in his ways. It's not Oral Roberts. What the heck's his name? He's always hanging around with the presidents and stuff like that. He's an older guy. It's not Jim. It's not Jim Baker. Is he still alive, Jim Baker? I think he is. I think Tammy Faye died. And I think Tammy's first husband died too, or second husband after Jim Baker died. And I'm not quite sure who she was married to. Who cares? Anyway, just be careful. You know, if you don't know what's going on in your church, or if you're in one of those fundy crazy churches that like to raise a lot of money and have these big expensive buildings and the audio media show and this and that, you kind of be careful. Understand where that money is going. Understand the ministries of the different things that they do in the church. Understand that. You know, one of the things, and I could be speaking out of my ass again because I'm not an expert on any of this stuff, but one of the things that George Bush talks about in with regards to welfare and you know, helping people out and stuff like that. He talks about faith-based organizations and things like that. If you really think about it, you know, that's why our country is here. It's because of those organizations. And instead of relying on the government, basically is what he's saying, you know, he's looking for these faith-based organizations to you know, step up to the plate and take care of some of these issues, or at least contribute with some of these issues. I don't know how successful he's been or how that haul has been over the presidency, but you know, it makes sense. It's one of the things that I like about George Bush. I mean, there's a lot of things I can say negatively about him, but you know, bringing that up and you know, that's a foundation of our country, whether you like it or not, whether you're an atheist or agnostic or Jew or Muslim or Christian or goddamn Buddhist or whatever. You know, that's what the country was founded on. And I can just hear the calls coming in now. Doing that, you know what that does? Instead of relying on the government, and yes, the government has different programs and this and that to help people out, but what it does at least I think, and it's kind of in the same vein as the locally thing, giving locally, it one, gets rid of the bureaucracy, the government bureaucracy that's involved in these sorts of things, all the administration of these things, kind of like some of these other large organizations I was talking about. You know, I was trying to think of what this one organization was called. They've been pretty active on telemarketing, and we've actually gotten some calls. And it's not the American Cancer Society. It's like the Society of Cancer of America or something like that. It's very close to the American Cancer Society. If you look them up, it's like less than 5%, maybe less than 3%, maybe less than 2% of the money that they raise actually makes it to the people that they quote unquote represent. 2% or less, 3% or less. 3 pennies for every dollar you give goes to the people that they are supposed to be helping, when 97, 95 cents out of every dollar goes to some big shot executive of the company and, or, you know, foundation or society or whatever, and, you know, their administration costs and things like that. Does that seem right? To me, it doesn't. So, you know, that's kind of my point on that topic. The faith-based organizations and the government, I think Bush is right on that. You know, I'm not involved as much as I'd like to be in the church, just for the fact that I've got so much shit going on in my days. Go and serve at a food line, or go give out coats on a winter evening to the homeless or whatever. Yeah, I know there's some scumbuckets that are probably, you know, taking advantage of those systems, but you're always going to have a certain amount of scum in whatever you're dealing with. Which kind of brings me to another topic, and you can hear the calls coming in on this one too. Let's see, it's been been 10 years, almost 11 years, that my mother died of cancer, and it's something I don't really talk about a lot. I don't, you know, want any pity or anything like that, or you know, I don't want any special treatment, or, you know, people will feel sorry for me or anything like that. I had just gotten a job. I was just right out of college, which, let's see, that was 97. I must have been 24, which means 8 minus 24 is 16. Let's see, 24. I had a brother that was 22 at the time. I had a brother that was 15 at the time. I had another brother that was probably 13, 14, something like that. And, you know, after she passed away and that, we had a lot of people, you know, bringing meals and helping out, probably for the first couple months, you know. And, yeah, those were the hardest months to deal with. But you know what? You know, I really wasn't all that involved with it because I was, you know, out of the house and that, but, and, you know, kind of doing my thing. But, you know, 2, 3, 4 years later, I mean, there's a lot of things that happened, and, you know, there was nobody there, you know, no quote-unquote safety net or helping hands or anything like that. I mean, yeah, there were some close friends and stuff that helped out, but it's kind of like, okay, I've done my part, and I'm done, sort of thing. And I guess my point is you know, people use their emotions to, you know, give their money or whatever. You know, maybe they haven't done so in the past. And then after the event or incident has passed, after a while, you know, that support kind of evaporates too, and people kind of get back to normal. And you know, there's people out there that are still, you know, struggling with issues like that. And you know, being a single parent, all of a sudden, you know, it's a flip of a switch, basically. You know, people don't necessarily, you know, people plan for it, but don't expect it to ever happen. And then when it does happen, you know, there's all kinds of issues that come up along the way. And yeah, we had a lot of good people help us out on stuff like that. And you know, think about people like that sometimes, you know. So I don't really know if I made my point there, but yeah, the emotions bring people out to you know, support these people. But you know, what about, you know, this small shooting? Let's say, you know, you get a widow out there now that, yeah, things are going to be great for a while, but let's say she's disabled or something, and let's say the husband or the man, you know, was killed and was the breadwinner of the family and this and that, and provided a lot of the support and help, and I get this poor disabled widow out there, and yeah, after a couple years, she may be able to stay in her house and be able to afford some things, you know. Eventually, if there was any sort of life insurance out there, you know, if the insurance company would pay it, you know, eventually that would dwindle away, and you know, this widow could, you know, possibly lose her house, lose everything, have to move out into, move into a different place, or, you know, something that, you know, she didn't expect to have to do. So, I don't know, just kind of think about that. Think about those folks 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road, and I don't know, you know, it'd be nice if a guy could check up on them, you know, somehow, if there was some sort of system or you know, something like that, you know. Are they back up on their feet? Are they struggling? Are they having problems? Are they stuck in the bureaucracy of, you know, trying to get some of these benefits that are due to them? I don't know, just kind of think about that. That's kind of my point. You know, emotions run rampant, and people do a bunch of things, and then, you know, after that fades a little bit, it disappears, you know, that support kind of disappears. So, you know, just think about that a little bit. Well, it's Wednesday, and we're due for another snowstorm, I guess, over the weekend. Fun. Oh, I gotta tell you about this. This is great. Knock on wood, if I got any wood here. A couple days ago, I don't know if I talked about it. I was going to work, my 44 miles or whatever, 45 miles a day, and I kind of took this little back way into work, and there's one stop sign there, and there's some railroad tracks off to the right. Just so happened there was a train coming through, and then, you know, wasn't too much worried about traffic coming from the north, from the right, I'm worried about traffic coming from the left. And I'm getting up to this intersection. Evidently, I wasn't paying attention or something. But I go to put on the brakes, and I slide probably a good 2 blocks through the freaking intersection into, the southbound lanes, or the, right across the first lane of traffic into the next lane of traffic. And thank God I didn't hit anybody or kill anybody. It was pretty slick. But the next day, I jammed on the brakes pretty hard. Anti-lock brakes kicked in, and of course that didn't help me a whole lot. I think my skills are good enough that I can drive without anti-lock brakes. I think they're good for some things, but trying to stop, they're not the best. Actually, if you look at some of the studies, if you can lock up your brakes, lock up your tires, you'll stop a lot faster. The dead wheel dragging on the ground than you will with anti-lock brakes. But you lose some of your control, and if you don't know how to control a car in a skid, you're fucked. But if you're like me, you know how to do that, and which means you let off the brakes so you can steer okay. Anyway, and then steer towards where the rear end's going to keep it straight. Anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, the next morning, which would have been yesterday, I get in the car, and the goddamn anti-lock brake light is on. I'm thinking, oh, great, I busted something. I busted the damn anti-lock brakes. And if anybody's ever had to repair anti-lock brakes, you know that it isn't cheap. It is not cheap on a domestic car, let alone a damn near 20-year-old foreign car. I could only imagine what it would cost to fix these anti-lock brakes. Well, I started thinking yesterday, before I take it into a shop, I can drive it or whatever without the anti-lock brakes, as long as I got brakes, okay? I know how to drive a car. Yeah, watch me show up dead here. Anyway, I started thinking, these are anti-lock brakes. There's electronics involved. Maybe I blew a damn fuse for some reason, Well, anyway, I'm thinking ABS, anti-lock braking system, common in, hold on a second here. Common in a domestic car, anti-lock brakes, that term. So I'm looking at the fuse boxes and stuff on the car. I think yesterday at lunch I'd looked at them underneath the driver's, kick panel or whatever. And then I looked under the hood. There's some fuses under there, a bunch of them. And I couldn't find anything that said ABS on it. I'm thinking, fuck, maybe this thing doesn't have any fuses. All the fuses I looked at looked good. So I'm like, well, it must have burned it out. And then I started thinking, wait a minute. ALB. What does ALB stand for? Anti-lock brakes, you dumb shit. So, today at lunch, I was like, well, let's see if I look at those fuses under ALB, which I didn't yesterday. I was looking for ABS, and I figured if there's no ABS under there, it had to be the damn whatever unit, So, I got under my hood and opened up the little fuse box and looked at it. I believe there's 3 15-amp fuses marked ALB1, ALB2, ALB3. You know, pull one out and look at it, and it looks good. And I had to get my pocket knife out to kind of unwedge those other two, because I'm sure if I would have pulled it out with my fingers, I would have dropped the damn fuse in the engine compartment somewhere and not found it, and had to be finding some fuses in the glove box or console or something, even if they're there, I don't know. So I pulled out each fuse one at a time, and I checked them, and they looked good. They looked fine. They weren't burned out or anything. Put them back in, went back in, kind of forgot about it. I was going to look up the manual, but I never did get to it. Well, I get in my car today to go home, and analog brake light is off. So I must have had a bad connection or something with one of those fuses, or maybe it was corroded a little bit. I don't know, but you know what? Analog brake light went off. Save yourself at least $1,000. Should have checked that on the Buick when I had problems with it. The guy said something was wrong with my rotator thingamajig, caliper, whatever. $1,000 to fix that. Yeah, that's expensive. Shit. Never thought about checking the fuses. Yeah, I had a fuse problem about a year ago this time, this particular car, and I checked all the fuses except for one, and I thought for sure that it was my wiper motor. My wipers weren't working. And, you know, this time of year, you really can't drive without wipers because of all the muck and that on these roads. So I spent a day or a couple days tearing that thing apart. I called up my mechanic. I said, you know, I got my car all tore apart. What's the price of the motor? $460. $460 for a stinking motor. Well, you might want to check a salvage yard. They may have something. So I checked a salvage. $35 salvage yard. Had one. And so I got that. And of course, once I did that, I think I plugged it in, tried to run it, it didn't run. Then I thought, oh, fuck, it's got to be a fuse. Checked the fuses, and it was a damn fuse. So I got a motor if I ever need it. It blew out that fuse a couple more times, but it hasn't done it since, so I don't know what happened there. Ended up cracking my windshield in the process. Trying to get into the... Trying to get into the compartment for the wiper motor. So, check your fuses if something goes wrong. Why the hell do I feel a cold draft here. Anyway, that's Car Talk with Chris 200 on Audio On Demand. I'm about home. I've rattled on for darn near 40 minutes here. I'm going to shut it off. Hope you guys have a good holiday. If I don't hear from you, or if you don't hear from me, have a good holiday. We will maybe we'll do something in the break there. I don't know. I got all kinds of things going on. Someday I want to sneak in on one of Pete's Babe's shows and make a guest appearance, but I haven't been able to work that out yet. Seems like every time I try to do that, she's done recording. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and shut this off before I run out of battery and or memory, and we will see you maybe in the next year, maybe next week, maybe at this week. give me a call, give me a message at chris200@gmail.com. I've got a phone number out there, but I don't, to tell you the truth, I don't know if it still works. Drop me an email or voice call or Skype me or something. I think it's Chris200 at Skype. I don't know if I have voicemail on that, though. Anyway, I'm going to go. Bye-bye.
Did you like it? Was it good? You can get this podcast and more over at thefreaknetwork.com.